Hello, this is Hilary Robertson. Welcome to the latest episode of Harmonious World. I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by conductor Garrett Keast, who actually is a mutual friend of Michael Shapiro, who I have interviewed twice for this podcast already. Garrett will be talking to me about his latest album, Transatlantic, which is with the Berlin Academy of American Music. And it features pieces by Copland, Dorman, Stravinsky, Tukimitsu, and Urquhart. Transatlantic is the debut album from Garrett Keast and the Berlin Academy of American Music, which was recorded at the beginning of 2021, when I don't think anybody thought orchestral music could be recorded. The idea for this orchestra came about during the pandemic, and the musicians needed something to do, so they came up with this idea. What you're listening to now is Urquhart's Lamentation for Flute and String Orchestra, which is actually a cornerstone of this album. American composer Craig Urquhart came together with Greek flutist Stathis Karampanos and Keast together to discuss the possibility of recording this newly orchestrated lamentation. So I hope you enjoy listening to my conversation with Garrett Keast.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Very good.
Excellent. Welcome to Harmonious World. I'm delighted to be joined by Garrett Keast. And thank you for sparing me the time to talk about Transatlantic.
You're welcome. Very happy to be here with you, Hilary.
Excellent. So how did this... So this is a brand new orchestra.
Completely new. I mean, it's... We hadn't quite thought of it a year ago.
Amazing.
Yes. And literally so new that our album just came out, Transatlantic. We recorded it last January and February here in Berlin's Teldec Studios. And it just came out October 29. So it's just a couple of weeks ago. And we followed that up with our first two concerts, our debut concerts, just over the past weekend. It was Saturday night and Monday night here in two outstanding venues here in the city. So, yeah, so it's ganz neu, completely brand new.
It's incredible. So how did the orchestra come about?
Ah, that's a good question. Well, Corona, first of all.
Right.
It came about only because of Corona, because I would say, from my viewpoint especially, I would not have been led this direction, or would not have had the time to have been led this direction. And so that's how somehow. I mean, really what happened is that last summer, during the summer before, 2020 summer, the first big lockdown and the first summer where, you know, here in Berlin, it was, the numbers were down in the summer, and it was summer, and summers here are spectacular, beautiful blue skies and amazing weather, and everybody has the windows open, so people are feeling more comfortable. But, you know, of course, long way ahead of the vaccines and such. Myself and a few other friends decided, well, let's just put together a small orchestral reading of, you know, chamber orchestra things of Stravinsky or John Adams or Copland, just for fun. And you know, we could just read them and spend 2 or 3 hours in this little studio that we could rent very inexpensively in Kreuzberg. And that'll be fun. Let's just see how that goes. And we did that. And we all ended up having a beer on the street afterwards, because you're not supposed to be inside anywhere, and just chatting. And it kind of started from that, because, yeah, well, then Craig Urquhart, who's on the CD, who is a really great guy and also a very fine composer, but also he and I worked together a lot. He helped introduce me to Europe, actually. He helped me make the transatlantic crossing from New York to Europe. He's worked for the Bernstein office for many, many years, was Lenny's assistant the last 5 years of his life. It was super helpful. And I know his music very well. I've been to many of his concerts where he plays piano, beautiful music. And so he transcribed his piano work, Lamentation for Flute and Strings. And Stathis Karapanos is a common friend of ours. And anyway, they had heard that we had put together these little reading orchestras. And they suddenly themselves decided that they wanted to record his lamentation and for flute and strings that he had orchestrated. And they both called me the same evening, bombarded me saying, oh, let's can we record this? Is there a way to do this? And that's somehow what led to this whole transatlantic recording and the beginnings of the orchestra.
And I like the fact that there's this link with Craig Urquhart, because obviously he was instrumental in the thing coming together. And now his music is part of this recording. And the reason that hence the transatlantic, because it's about those of you who have moved across the Atlantic, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's one way. I mean, there's so many transatlantic relationships involved in the repertoire, involved with the performers, the soloists, in every way. And honestly, even I do feel like the classical music world, well, of course, it's generally so. I mean, it's of course, it's very European focused kind of art form, of course, you know. But I mean, the next biggest place is the United States, I would say, you know, and then Asia, I guess. And it's and I always just look at it. I don't know. Of course, being an American, I'm always looking back at see what's going on in the States and following the news and of course, involved. I usually conduct there 2 or 3 times a season. And it's just, yeah, I kind of find myself, I'm transatlantic, you know?
Right, right. How did you end up, because Berlin is your home now. So how did you end up there?
Well, I had the good fortune of being, I was, you know, an associate conductor at New York City Opera, and I was working as guest conducting lots of different orchestras in the States, but I was kind of looking for an opportunity forward to move to get to Europe. And I started working on that in about 2009. And Craig Urquhart helped me a lot. We worked very closely on that together for some years. And, I did a lot of networking, a lot of traveling from New York City. I came over 2 or 3 times a year to meet a lot of different people and network with people. And then things started slowly breaking. I would get an audition somewhere. Or I would, I had a jump in for a cancellation of another conductor with the North Netherlands of New York during the ash cloud debacle in 2010.
Oh, yeah.
That was something, you know, that was my European debut, a concert debut with the North Netherlands of the orchestra. And then Christoph Eschenbach, who was my mentor for a long time and I'd studied with at the Houston Symphony Orchestra before I moved to New York, he took me on as an assistant conductor for him with some big projects with the NDR Symphony Orchestra in Hamburg and with the Paris Opera. And those things ended up being like the genesis of what like created a pathway forward for me. From that, those things happening and networking and some people talking, I won a position at Deutsche Oper Berlin in 2011. And that was what kind of, it's what really got me started in Europe.
And of course, now you got to know a lot of people, which is how then the orchestra came about. So given that there are all of these sort of transatlantic connections, how did you go about choosing what the pieces were that you were going to include, because, you know, there's a lot you could have added in.
Yeah, I mean, you can go a lot long. I mean, we added quite a bit, you know. I mean, I think the CD is about 84 minutes long. I can't remember if that's correct, something like that. I think it's over 80 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. But the way it really came about is Stathis Karapanos and I, the flutist, the Greek flutist. He and I had been introduced to each other and we'd worked on a project here in Berlin in 2019 summer. And we got along very well and we enjoyed working with each other. And when he came to me with this idea to do something with Craig and to record this piece, at first their idea was, let's just record this one piece of his and I don't know what we'll do. Release it as a single or something. I don't know, streaming, I don't know what. And it's a beautiful piece. And we thought, well, let's do something like that. But then he and I started speaking on our own and said, well, we could record a little more. We could record this. And he was saying that he was already working on another project to record another CD in Teldex. And it opened up that Teldex was available for us. And There was a sponsor to help in the background that was made some extra things happen. And so he and I started looking at how to make a CD go together. And at first we were wondering if it would become a solo album for him or something. But then he and I really, it was very amazing. It was about, just started like 1 year ago now in November. I would happen to be conducting in Helsinki for a couple months at the opera there. And he and I were just talking on the phone every day, a couple times a day. What about this piece? What about this piece? And, you know, we're looking at pieces for flute, of course, as well.
Right.
To showcase him, but also maybe to showcase me and this orchestra. And so that's how, well, first, of course, Craig's piece, The Lamentation for Flute and Strings. And then we kind of were looking at some other opportunities, other possibilities. We really at first wanted to record Elliot Carter's Flute Concerto, but it's on hold for someone else. So can't do that.
Right.
And so, so then it came about to Takemitsu, and it happens to be his American themed work. It's amazing. And then Avner Dorman and I are friends and have been for a long time. He's a really fine composer, gets a lot of attention in the States and a good bit here too. And both those things were things that Stathis liked very, very much.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and it's a lovely collection of new and, you know, obviously there's Copland and Stravinsky as well. So you've got some kind of classics that will bring people in perhaps to then introduce them to the newer stuff.
I think that's the idea. And that's when we were speaking with Matthew Cosgrove at Onyx. He very much liked the idea of the Dumbarton Oaks, which, I mean, first of all, I just love. I adore that piece. Yeah. It's just so crispy and exciting and so well written and just absolutely Stravinskyan and just crunchy, crispy, fun, athletic, sporty piece, you know?
Yeah.
And then the Appalachian Spring is, I mean, I must say, it's one of those pieces I fell in love with in my high school years. And it's one of those pieces actually that helped me decide I really ought to become a musician. I wasn't sure if I was going to become a full-time musician or not. And that was it. That was like, that was one of the pieces that really helped me decide, absolutely, I have to study this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Copland is, it feels like he's sometimes overlooked, but I mean, Appalachian Spring is such a fantastic composition.
He is overlooked. There's not many pieces of his that are really that famous. You know, there's Rodeo, there's maybe the Latin American, what's the El Salon Mexico, which is really nice. There's the Copland Third Symphony, which I love and have conducted a few times. Then there's Appalachian Spring. I mean, Appalachian Spring by far is the most famous.
Yeah.
And what's interesting though, I find Hillary is the, in Europe, like most people have heard of Appalachian Spring and they know it's a famous work, but they don't know it.
No, I think that's true. I think that's very true. They've heard of it, but not heard it.
Yes.
Yeah. Not in the same. Yeah. And that's not the same way with Gershwin. I think Gershwin is sort of, I always think of them sort of in the similar vein, but people will recognize an American in Paris things, whereas they won't recognize an Appalachian Spring.
Yes.
I think in the same way.
Whereas in the States, if I program Appalachian Spring, it's just the most standard thing I can possibly do.
Really?
You know? Yeah, practically. I heard that over the pandemic, the 13 instrument version, which we recorded there, was the most rented piece by Boosey and Hawks in North America during the pandemic, because so many orchestras were doing smaller orchestration pieces, you know, but
right.
I don't think so over here. I was really, really very interesting to hear and from the musicians when we recorded it was, I mean, we had really some fantastic players in that orchestra and they were all saying, I haven't played that piece before. It's so well written. It's such a gorgeous piece. And it made me realize as an American, like it's not just an American masterpiece. It's really, it's truly a 20th century masterpiece.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So how was your lockdown? How did it hit you?
Well, I mean, for me, it hit me. I was in Stockholm conducting in the opera when it all hit. And they, you know, they held on a little bit longer there than everybody else, but not much longer, 4 or 5 days. And they shut down the opera house and sent me packing, you know. And that's the way it was. And then another job was in Hamburg was canceled a couple of days later. And so I came home to Berlin, came home to Berlin. We have two little boys at home, 3.5 and 6 year old boys. And so we were busy. We were never bored.
Right.
And suddenly they couldn't go to school or to kindergarten. But the best thing about that period in middle March through all of May, it was practically every day, bright blue, clear skies in Berlin.
Right. It was beautiful weather, wasn't it? It was just gorgeous. We were so lucky.
Same there. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think if we'd had that lockdown, the way we had the lockdown in January, that was just awful and the weather was awful and it was just hideous. But I think there was a lot of people going, oh, well, I'm going to go for a walk then, because the one thing you were allowed to do was go for some exercise. So everyone was walking around, you know, in the countryside, and it was lovely. And I suspect it would have been different if we hadn't had that lovely weather.
Yeah, that was incredible. Yeah, I will always remember that.
Yeah, so, definitely. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So obviously now your lockdown project has finally sort of burst into life now with this album. Are there plans to tour? Obviously, you've had two performances already with the orchestra. Are there plans to do more in Germany and perhaps tour?
Absolutely. That is the plan. What we are trying to do is, well, I mean, there's some talks with some different presenters and with another record company at the moment about a possible another recording, different styled recording completely, but still focus on American composers. And there's a few agents interested in helping us make our mark and make a name for ourselves so we can start to be toured or presented properly. And we're at the very, actually at this moment, I have to organize a couple different program choices for a presenter for something that's coming up, that could come up and might become, shall we say, legitimately in the schedule in the next week or two, something coming up in the winter. So, and bigger things, I must say, which where the orchestra can expand a bit from 13, 15, 18 instruments to 25, 30.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot possible because it's really what was so fun about we get the same interest from the recording, but also from our concerts is that we have a really interesting mix of repertoire, but it's not scary. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, some of course it's still sophisticated. It's still great music, but it's not, I love new music. I've done lots of crazy, crazy pieces and I always enjoy that, but that's not the point of this ensemble. This orchestra's not point is not to be a new music focused ensemble. I think we will always want to present new music, one or two pieces of program, but so
very exciting. No, that's brilliant. Well, I look forward to you coming to London and performing there.
We certainly want to. I was talking to my general managers there, Peter Railton. The idea is afloat.
Right. Very good. Very good. Okay. Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I'm really grateful.
My pleasure. Nice to meet you. I heard so much about you from Mike Shapiro. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we had a wonderful time. When I needed a holiday. He was in Milan. So I thought, right, that's it. So I flew to Milan and his orchestration for the Frankenstein movie was just superb. It was just brilliant. So
yeah, I know that. I know it's. I've heard it before.
Right.
Yeah, he's a big talent. He's a big talent. He's doing it again right now in Trier in Germany. So
yeah, he's got all of these dates booked up. So it's brilliant. So
yeah,
very good.
Well, thanks for your attention to Transatlantic, and we really are excited about it. The orchestra has a great future ahead. We're going to
keep
moving forward. So
fantastic. Yeah.
Great. Well, brilliant. Thank you so much, Hilary. Pleasure.
That's
nice to
all
meet
right.
You.
Really. Yeah. Really nice to meet you too. Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to that conversation with Garrett Keast. That interview was recorded back in November. And since then, the Berlin Academy of American Music has actually put in place a concert on the 5th of February, which looks incredible. What you're listening to now is No Word from Tom, which is from The Rake's Progress by Stravinsky. And that's recorded by the Berlin Academy of American Music. This transatlantic album is really stunning and I can't recommend it highly enough. So please do follow the links in the show notes and you can get hold of your own copy. So I hope you are enjoying listening to Harmonious World, and what a year this has been. I begin series 7 in just a few days on the 1st of January 2022. And I've already interviewed some amazing people and I've got lots more lined up. Please do share this with your friends and family. You can do that on whatever podcast platform you choose. And you can go to Buzzsprout and the link is in the show notes. So I hope you have a very good last few days of 2021 and that 2022 is going to be a great year for all of us. Please do share whatever you're good at and make this world a little more harmonious. Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Harmonious World. My name is Hilary Seabrook and it's a great delight to bring this series of discussions with musicians and composers and writers and all sorts of people to you. Obviously, there's no point in having a podcast if people aren't listening, and I'm very grateful to my listeners for doing so. Thanks also to Joe English for composing and performing this new theme tune. So wherever you get your podcast, you can leave a review. You can share this with your friends and family, either as a link or on social media and that sort of thing. I'd be really grateful for that. Don't forget that you can subscribe now. There's a link wherever you get your podcasts. So have a great week and please remember why I started this, which is just to try and make the world a little more harmonious. Thanks for listening to Harmonious World.